Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major Domo Media. Thank you, Lieutenant, as always. We got three things, and then three things before the three things. Then we got an Ask Dave, and we have what I hope to be a regular occurrence, a regular feature.
We got nothing but time.
Nothing.
We're joined with Senator, the freshman, the future freshman senator from Arizona, Chris Bianco.
Woo! Honored to be here. Oh, my God. This is the best. You know that. Home sweet home.
And our good friend, Kelly Meinhardt. And you're a creative executive for the world to understand. Can you explain how this all happened?
This happened because Chris loves to talk. And I think he ran out of people to talk to.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I got many people on the Rolodex.
That is true. That's exactly what he told me.
Yeah, I know. No. I see right through you.
You're my dear pal.
He could talk to anybody, and he wants to talk to Kelly.
Yeah. I do. I talk to Kelly all the time, and we're pals.
Chris is one of my besties now, I would say. I think we were besties.
I think so.
It started just like we loved to talk on the phone, because you would be calling my boss, but then you would end up talking to me, and then a friendship formed.
Well, you know what's funny is I think sometimes, like, you're on the curb, you're waiting to go to meet somebody, or you're waiting... And then the most interesting conversation you might have, not that the other one's not going to be interesting as well, but all of a sudden, you know, you just happen to talk to somebody, you just turn your head and somebody sees something as stupid as you do. Like, you know, they look at the paper.
Are you calling
me stupid?
On
the bus and like, who the fuck would put that on the bus?
He is calling you stupid.
No.
I was getting the bus.
I'm calling your ability to recognize stupid.
Okay.
And my hopefully ability to recognize stupid. Let's just say like you know what? This would be very quick, but one time I was on a plane with my dad. For some reason, we're going to St. Louis. I was like 17.
You sure St. Louis?
It's St. Louis, okay. 1,000%. Fucking 1,000%. Because we end up going to a Cardinals game, and Lee Mazzelli, who was playing for the Cardinals.
Of course.
Okay.
But nothing about that. But the only funny thing was, this will tie into what stupid was.
Okay.
My father starts fucking cracking up.
Can I just stop? How many more digressions do you think he has in this story?
it's all going to dovetail.
It was going to dovetail
right now, Dave. I'm just saying, the ability to recognize stupid was my father just saying, look at this fucking guy. They were promoting, like, before iPads, but it was like some type of pad that you could use while you're driving. And this guy's got his visor flipped down, and he's doing his, like, fucking, you know, grocery list, and my dad couldn't get over it. The stupidity for that. So in that same vein, I would say your ability to recognize stupid was something I found familiar with my dad's ability to recognize stupid. So that's why we're family, Kelly.
And through the transcommutative property, Kelly is not stupid.
Not stupid at all.
But really, that's one of my biggest traits, though, is being stupid. So I appreciate
I love it. Fucking love
yeah.
it. Whatever you are, I'm in. I'm having some of that. More Kellys.
All right. So we're going to get into a... After that, Dave, we're going to go into buy and sell. And I almost feel like we should ask our good friend, the great Huey Lewis, if we should call it for or against.
I know. That's fucking...
That's a good game.
Well, you know what? You know, he would definitely go for it.
But I wanted to start off with the pre-three things. I've been cooking a lot. It's something that we're not a surprise, but cooking for a specific reason that we should be able to announce relatively soon.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Very exciting reason.
And it has me terrified, but it also has me brushing off the old baking chops. And boy, you know what you got to do? When you start to make desserts, you need to follow recipes.
You need a measure, a little measurement.
That's crazy.
I have been so stubborn because I've been making these dorayakis, and I have not. I made it once by eye, and it was fantastic. And I've probably made it 2 or 3 dozen times since, and I have not been able to make it correctly because I never made a recipe. I never followed a recipe. So now I'm in this vision quest to figure out if I can do it. I feel like I nailed it yesterday.
Yesterday you were on point, for sure.
So I'm trying to figure out how I can make desserts, right? I think the all-time easy, and when I say desserts that you might get at home, right? Desserts that a savory cook might make. Number one, easiest, best dessert is clearly the panna cotta, in my book, right?
It's a great dessert.
It's hard to fuck up, because we got to do something that's vaguely a Sunday roast theme. And what a surprise that Senator Bianco is here, and he spent a lot of time in England. You know what I've been making quite a bit? British desserts. And you know what? Underrated.
Way underrated. Sticky
way
coffee.
Underrated.
Like, what are we talking about?
British desserts? Yeah. I think for people that want to feel like they know how to make delicious desserts, and actually you don't need to follow a recipe into something. You just need to have some ratios, right? British desserts are wildly underrated and extremely delicious. And once you break it down, not fucking hard to make at all.
Are we talking about like bread pudding or like what constitutes
pudding, a crumble, a rhubarb crumble?
And I had to understand why? Because collectively,
why, Dave?
Will you take the pastries out, like the buttered crust pie stuff? Mm-hmm, that's a whole nother. Mm. I think those are people that never. Those are things that are made by people that don't drink, and most of these simple British desserts were created by people that drank quite a bit.
They all have the feel of, oh man, it's the end of dinner. I got to make something for dessert,
and it's like, whoa. And I don't know if I have the time or the energy to make something really truly delicious. So I think it has evolved over a few hundred years to really some simple things. Sticky toffee pudding, which is actually a recent invention, I think, 60s, 70s. Eaton mess is a historically old dessert from Eaton, which is like one of the oldest schools in the world.
And belongs in the Hall of Fame of excellent names for dishes with quality to match.
It's like visual automatopoeia, right?
And definitely one of the great band
names
of all time.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Eaton mess sounds awesome. And the British desserts, all of them, they all sound awesome, taste awesome, with the exception of fucking one, Turkish Delight.
Just pure garbage.
One of the greatest names to one of the worst desserts of all time.
But Eaton mess makes up for it, because what a name and what a dessert. No British dessert has ever been accused of being not too sweet.
But here's what's beautiful about Eaton mess. Usually as strawberries or berries, you don't have to have nice berries. Because you're soaking them in sugar. You make a meringue, and quite frankly, meringues are really easy to make. And not easy, but sort of easy, right?
Yeah, the texture of it is fucking great, though.
So good. And whipped cream. That's it. You can layer that so it looks like you know what you're doing, almost like a trifle. And a trifle, another great dessert.
Trifle is another great
dessert. These are truly the desserts of a cold.
You know what it is, too? I think it is the setting. Too, like you want, a chilly night or
these are the desserts of a cold, gray, drunk, posh country.
There's only one dessert that I will not try to make, and that's an Eccles cake with cheddar cheese.
That's from St. John.
St. John, awesome. And you can also get that at Neil's Yard.
It's the best,
I think that Eccles cake, it's the only time a dessert needs cheddar cheese. I'm not a cheddar cheese apple pie man. I think that's fucking disgusting.
I'm so anti.
Yeah.
But Eccles cake, which is like a currant pastry, right? Sugar on the outside. It's like a sugared powdery donut.
Yeah.
And really sharp, salty cheddar cheese. I don't know why. Have you ever had it before?
I haven't had any of this shit.
Wow.
You guys.
I haven't had any of this shit.
Well, I can make this for you now.
Great.
And look like I'm,
hung the moon, basically.
Yeah.
We're starting off really well here. I haven't had an Eaton mess. I haven't had Eccles cake.
Don't worry. We'll get to Minnesota shit soon.
Yeah.
I think the Eccles cake without the cheese is a weird experience.
You have to have it with the cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
So you're pro cheese with Eccles cake,
with
too.
With Eccles cake. I was the only time way I've had it, but I think I have. No, I think I have had an Eccles cake going for an extra one or something like that in some type of, post whatever experience. And maybe it's just felt incomplete.
Well, you know what, Chris? This is the whole thing about British desserts. I thought they were way more difficult to make until I made it. And I was like, well, man, this is like a drunk person made this. Right? And now I bet you tried to make an Eccles cake? I bet you an Eccles cake is like super easy to make too.
Never tried one.
So I'm going to try to make an Eccles cake.
I'm going to try my first
Eccles cake.
So that was my pre-three things. I think that the British desserts, underrated, great names, and extremely delicious.
If we mock you during it, maybe call it the Heckles cake. We'll just heckle.
Chris.
What's the American version of a currant?
I think it's a currant.
It's still a currant, but it's like a raisin. It's like a currant is just its own little berry.
Yeah, currant's a currant, I think.
Where do you find such a thing in America?
Currants you can get like fucking
Whole Foods.
Yeah, Whole Foods, where you can also get Momofuku and Bianco.
Yeah, currants just like a tiny raisin, basically, right?
It's a tiny raisin.
Well, let's take a break and then we'll get into the proper three things.
Man, that was good shit right there.
The pre-three.
I don't know if this is coming out after Christmas, but it doesn't matter because you can buy. This is how capitalism works. Every day is a holiday. You should think of it as the Momofuku holiday because Momofuku Goods has all these pantry items. We have instant noodles that are air-dried, not deep-fried. We got some great bundles. I don't even understand the holiday discount codes, but we have them. And you can get another 10% off where you can quote-unquote stack them. If you go to shop.momofuku.com, you can put in the promo code DOMO10. That's DOMO10. You can get all of the array of items. We're available nationwide at places like Whole Foods and Target, Kroger's, Albertsons, and thank you for the support. You can go to the grocery store and get our noodles and our chili crunch. You can get the whole array at shop.momofuku.com and get that stackable discount. You know what else you can get at your local Whole Foods? The best tomato products in the world. The best. We have a lot of the Jimmy Kimmel multiverse here today. Jimmy told me that when he tasted the pizza sauce out of the can, he drank it straight from the can. And so, because he did that, I did the same thing. And I gotta say, it's delicious. If that's not compelling enough to go to your local Whole Foods, right? You know what you can do? You can do the holy merger of Bianco tomatoes with Momofuku noodles, just like Chris's Nona used to know. All right, let's get on to the show. So this is the three things. This is the new year coming up. We're going to do a challenge, and you guys are more than welcome to be part of this because the Ringerverse doesn't even know. Bill Simmons doesn't even know. I want to get Bill and everybody for the month of January to do a Master of One's Domain for sugar consumption. And it's going to be an honor system. Can you go all month or maybe longer without consuming any sugar intentionally?
Anything with sugar in it at all.
Sugar in what form? All forms.
All forms.
That's fucking
anything
crazy.
That's a carb that gets converted into sugar as well.
That's no alcohol. That's no sugar products. Yeah. That also no
marinades.
Okay.
No nothing.
Are we saying no starches and
no, yeah, carbs? That's anything
all
that's
of this thing. Yeah. So no.
But like I would say one thing we did last time was no fruit. I think that was
I think fruit's got to be on the table.
It's just not
I can't go without my currants. I need to eat my currants.
Just nothing that's overly sweet, right?
All right.
Why? Like watermelon would be good.
Why is this happening?
Because we want to punish ourselves.
Pain is pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a formidable opponent task.
And I want to get everybody in the Ringerverse, the Ringer universe, and now the Kimmelverse to go after this challenge. And it's an honor system, right? Much like the great Seinfeld episode.
So sweet nothings is what we're going for.
Yeah.
Because we can have nothing sweet.
Nothing sweet.
Sweet nothings.
No booze.
How do you do?
No starch.
How do you guys do generally with this kind of thing? With like, we'll call it dieting generally.
Kelly's like, what the fuck did I sign up for?
No, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good if you tell me shit. I'm horrible if I got to think of shit.
Okay.
You know? Okay. Like if I got to think of like, hey, go think about this thing, I'm going to be in all kinds of trouble. If you say just go dig a ditch, I need five pizzas, I'm good. I mean,
what?
Whatever, that kind of shit. Just normal everyday task I can do, but if I gotta figure this fucking out, if I gotta go look through what has sugar in it, which I know a little bit, but
okay,
we'll go crazy. So maybe we need to put out some type of guideline, a beginner's guide to
sure.
To
well, he makes nothing. And serves pizza and pasta for a living. So
that's okay. I can submit. You know what? You know you would. Yeah, you know.
It's coming soon to the Bianco Pizza near you. Cauliflower
crust.
No,
available at Whole Foods.
Parts of palm fettuccine.
I'd rather abstain. I think abstinence in this case.
All right.
So you guys can decline, but I'm just offering you an invitation.
No, I like it.
Is it a master of your own domain format where one and done, you're out?
Yeah, of course.
You tasted, you're out?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm almost thinking that we should maybe give everyone a cheat day. A cheat day per week.
Per week. I'm just.
But gonna, I don't know.
I think Sunday is just
the only thing
Sunday.
Is.
Because the kids.
I'm a firm believer in abstinence in all things.
Abstinence
okay,
education.
Folks, that Catholic education really got to me. I put on my own chastity belt for a long time. All right? I didn't know where the lock went.
I have the key around my neck. My only thing is that to be announced thing we have is going to make this very hard for you. in particular.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll okay. see.
Well, maybe if you're tasting, there is some type of, like if you're tasting something, you can taste it if it's part of, you know.
So no recreational sugar consumption.
Yeah. So what I really wanted to get to, I digressed. I pulled a Bianco there.
I'm going to fucking Google digress. Someone's going to be in trouble.
The three things are tips for healthier eating when you're getting older and you got to get blood work done and tests and all these things. I'm, again, a few years younger than Senator Bianco, but he's got to change his diet a few things.
Change. I have to say health has become omnipresent in my life. I think I decided I want to fucking drop dead. It's a pain in the ass. I mean, it's messy.
You know? Don't want to die. I'm so proud
of you. I'm fine to die when I have to, but I don't want to help it. I don't want to grease the tracks that way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to take some stock of all of it, I guess.
So I'm going to give you some of the tips. It's not tips. Some of the things I'm going to try to do this year. Because I tried to fast for 3 days, and the pizza that I had, which was not yours, was the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life.
I know, I heard that. It was
so fucking good. So maybe I will try to figure out how to do that, and then, you know, I'll rejoin Twitter, and I'll become like a tech bro. You know?
Yeah.
But two, probably not likely. Two, I had a conversation last week with someone that has been on this pod, but I want to name him, but he's a very successful screenwriter, makes TV and all these things. And I didn't know that they were a vegetarian. And we were talking, and inevitably I was like, oh, he's like, oh, but I don't eat meat. And he's like, I'm sure you're going to think that I'm lame and whatever. I was like, no. I think that if I had the moral fiber and strength, I would also be a vegetarian. Because he's like, I'm doing it for moral reasons. And I was like, huh. I was like, so don't you miss it though? Like, I wish I could do it, but I can't. This was a revelation to me. Are you a vegetarian? Have you ever been?
Absolutely not.
No way.
I'm a corn-fed Midwestern girl.
That's right.
It's not in my blood.
No?
Corn is vegetarian. I will
put okay. I am I'm a meat and potatoes girl.
There you go. Boom.
Got you.
So this got me thinking. So I was like, and he goes, I'm only a vegetarian when I'm not on vacation. And I'm not traveling something, or I'm in a place where it's impossible to like eat something if I'm on a road trip. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, I took my family to Europe and I ate meat and fish every meal 3 times a day.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And the reason is going to that delaying your gratification on that fast, that idea, right? This pizza, which is normally okay, was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been deadened because I've just had everything to some degree. And it's like resetting your palate. And I thought to myself, huh, how much more amazing would it be to go on vacation and to truly enjoy the food?
It'd be amazing.
This is enlightened vegetarianism.
Enlightened vegetarianism, yeah. Yes.
I love this.
And I was like, shit, I think I got to give it a shot.
He just wants to listen to music on good speakers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
It's a little bit like
why waste fucking...
You could try... You don't eat meat at home, basically.
Unless you do, I think. Like, you know, fuck it. Like, I think that's too much pressure. Like, when do you need it? Like, if you say, like, when do you need it? It's not even that often. Like, my wife used to be vegetarian, you know, when we first met. And then, well, maybe they eat some fish. If it's fucking really good and it's on fire and it's simple and it's not. Like, what do you don't like about it? You know, it's the animal thing's never fucking, there's no getting around it. Mm. You know, there's many schools. Like, I would never talk somebody against their personal beliefs and whatever. But I also think, man, what the fuck are we going to do with all the, I mean, we're here to shepherd in a way, right? We're here to.
So Chris is out.
No, I'm in. I might just be shepherd. I might be just making cheese with him. I'm just saying, but
this is just something that I think I'm going to try to work on.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be successful.
But what I like about what your friend is saying is it's like specifically when I'm on vacation, I will eat meat. I think it's harder just to be like, I'm going to try to eat less meat. So are you going to have like specific parameters around
this? This person is one of the smartest people I've ever met as well and truly a good human being. And I think it's really hard from a philosophical level to actually argue against the moral standing
Sure.
For veganism or vegetarianism. So it's really hard. I think it's almost impossible to say you guys are wrong. I mean, I understand the other side. I'm just imagining the Joe Rogan point, like, you can only eat fucking meat. You're an idiot if you don't.
Well, they want to be killed.
Right. They're bred for us. I get it. But I think it's hard. The last thing that I'm going to try to do for 2020, is it 24?
Mm-hmm,
fuck
mm-hmm.
me, man. End of days. When is it coming? Please.
The reaction you just had to the fact that it's 2024 is the same reaction most people have to, like, oh my God, it's 3 o'clock already?
Jesus Christ. Is I'm going to try to stick to a, if I'm not going to do the vegetarian thing, strictly a Mediterranean diet.
So that, what is that? That's like dolmas and?
No, it's just olive oil, mostly fish, vegetables.
Okay.
You know, my doctor has said that is the best by far.
But Dave, I would just say, just to put some closure on the vegetable thing, I fucking love eating vegetables. I'm just saying it's like how much. I mean, the one thing is like when you look at all those old fucking colonial cookbooks and shit and all those things, they were like meat that was like, you know, like the meat in three, the meat was the fucking little condiment. I just think if we flipped it on its head, and like I said, even when you go to Europe, maybe I'm not speaking for your friend, but maybe it's because he thinks, I know these animals are of good source. I know that they're brought to the fucking table humanely. I don't know if that's part of his reason that makes it all okay. And he knows that he's bringing something in his body that's lived a fucking... live his best life other than one bad day. And
but maybe, know. The other thing is, if I lived in Wyoming or Idaho, I'd only eat game meat.
Sure.
Right? That would be the cleanest, best way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
We'd all look like Steven Rinella. He's in very good shape.
So fasting,
yeah,
for periods of time. Mostly vegetarian eating as much as you can do. And short of that,
spending 6 weeks at an ashram.
So this is your eat, pray, love year.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to happen. Probably not happen.
I think you've been doing pretty well, honestly.
Yeah.
You've been doing well in the last few months already.
You do have kind of a glow about you, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's all the Botox. All right. Let's take a break. Let's get into an Ask Dave.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. All right, so we got an Ask Dave, and I gotta say, I gotta put on my fucking reading glasses. This also has me sort of freaked out, and I'm pretty sure that Kelly's gonna think, why am I here again?
I can't wait.
Dear Dave, I have a phobia for nose pickers. Because of my phobia, I am always watching for potential nose pickers in public. What? Unfortunately, based on my observations, the vast majority of people in service industries are nose pickers, including grocery workers, couriers, drivers, receptionists, gym workers, you name it. However, the one group I have yet to ever see pick their nose in public are cooks and chefs, in particular mid to high-end places. No shit. I can say the same for about 98% of all front of house workers I've observed in these places. Even in fast food, lower-end places, I would say about 75% are not nose pickers based on my observation. Jesus, Chris Ying.
Listen.
Sincerely, Chris.
I submitted this anonymously, okay?
My question is it taught in culinary school to not pick your nose? I understand that most of the time, cooks are constantly handling a utensil and or food or wearing rubber gloves during service, but even during downtimes, I've yet to see them pick their nose, even during breaks outside where they might be having a smoke with their gloves off. Thus, I love that he used thus. Thus, restaurants are the only place in the world where I do not have anxiety? This is a serious question. Sincerely, Steve T. And before we answer it, can I just say, that's the finest Ask Dave question we've ever gotten.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Because it's weird. Yeah. I'm not judging you, Steve, but it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But it's also a good conversation to have.
I need
it's
to know compelling. This man. I'm it's, fascinated.
It's compelling.
I mean, we should answer this. The answer, I assume, I didn't go to culinary school, but I assume there's not like a specific class where they're like, how not to pick your notes, right? Like, that's not.
You didn't learn this when you were working at McSweeney's? Dave Vigers? Didn't you write a book that sold two copies?
Yeah, we had an offsite about nose picking, but we didn't have an official course, right? That's not it's just a general food safety and health and cleanliness thing. My one objection to this characterization, though, is that it's about service professionals. If 90% of service professionals pick their noses, I think 90% of human beings are picking their noses.
Well, I can tell you for certain that it's extremely embarrassing when I have my two sons out and they're meeting other people, friends or whoever, and they're just talking to them with a finger on their nose.
Yeah.
I mean, and you tried to tell them that's not what you do and they don't understand.
But it feels so good sometimes. Know. You know, it's just like that sweet
but
release.
When do you learn? When is it ingrained in us that I shouldn't do this in public?
I think around like 14.
14?
No, I'm just fucking around. I don't know.
What age you think it is? What age you're putting your
kids today?
It feels, I agree with what Kelly said though. It's like you got a boogie in there, it's making your breathing weird. The sweet release of losing that boogie.
That boogie.
This is, I think, you know, there's definitely different ways to excavate, I guess.
Well, I mean, a tissue, time. Right? This is a tissue.
Go for the fucking tissue.
You probably learn the first time you get publicly shamed, right?
Yeah. Like, there's I've done that to my son.
No, we've,
no problem.
Yeah, they're not
They have
ready.
Not learned anything.
You don't learn?
<They're not ready. laughs>
It's always the most impromptu, like the worst moments humanly possible.
Yeah, my kids
My kids will look me dead in the eye and then eat it.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, no.
They haven't gone that far yet.
Just dead in the eye.
They hate you.
I'll be like, stop.
No. The one thing I'm glad that they picked up for my wife is cleanliness.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever seen someone pick a nose in a restaurant before?
Not in a restaurant. I also am not really looking for nose pickers.
I mean, like, I see this in restaurants. It's like, is that considered picking your nose? It's a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I if you look out for it, you do see people, like, touching their noses. But I don't see, like, a pick. Pick. Right. And if you have, like, a phobia about that, that can be super alarming just to like, see somebody touch their nose and then like touch whatever they're doing.
I would say that this is the deepest, no pun intended, picking that I've ever gotten in the subject. You know, right? Like I think, you know, if somebody says, you know, even if you're like 16, you know, you dishwasher, somebody tells you one time, like embarrassed, don't fucking pick your nose ever in the goddamn kitchen again. You're like, all right, I'll never forget that. I mean, it's literally in front of my face. I'm going to stop.
I think the reason why you would not see it is you're going to get written up or you're going to be fired.
Yeah, that's exactly
the reason why it's just like it's a self-culling of nose pickers.
Yeah.
Right?
Self-culling.
You just can't. And I've actually never seen it in my life either.
No,
I've seen someone vomit in a trash can. I've seen, you know, digits flying off. I've seen all kinds of ugly, gross shit. I've never seen someone pick their nose.
I think you killed that
kitchen.
Question. I
mean,
I think
right?
I think, first of all,
it's gross. But again, 99% of all foodborne illness when you get sick is because someone didn't wash their hands. Right. And if you work in a good kitchen, it just is about cleanliness. It goes hand in hand, right? You have to have a clean kitchen, clean uniform. Cleanliness is paramount. So if you don't do that and those standards are not part of your standard operating procedure, you will be shut down too. Like the health department will shut your ass down because if you're not catching that right off the bat, it's not a good look.
Yeah.
And the thing is, man, the health department too, I mean, they're so less busy now than they used to be.
Those motherfuckers.
I mean, they're so more thorough. And they're always going to come at the worst time.
Sometimes
you know.
I think they plant shit. Right? They're like bad cops. You know what I mean? They get to the scene.
They're crooked cops.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I think in every.
I didn't say that. Every, I heard that.
I think
allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I won't.
I'm not the only chef that fucking thinks that. I think sometimes they plant shit. I'm like, come on, man. I swear to God, that shit wasn't there. Did you just replace my fucking thermometer with one that doesn't fucking work? What the fuck? That was just working.
We don't even serve that here. Yeah. What is that doing here? I mean, actually,
it's a tough job.
When was the last time you guys, other than children, have you observed, or yourselves, have you seen a person out in the world just picking their nose like a circus?
I blacked it out. I would black it out.
Do you guys, driving in Los Angeles when you're in standstill traffic,
yeah, there's a lot of traffic.
See at least three people picking their nose.
Okay, that makes sense. Then I think.
But is it more like the Seinfeld one? Is it? Are we sure?
Where he's just doing this?
It's a side nose.
No, it's a real
exterior.
But have you ever seen? Okay, so Steve T says that service professionals, gym workers, receptionists, couriers,
I can't speak for them.
Drivers, and grocery workers. I've never seen a grocery worker digging for gold.
Well, they're also not touching and handling food.
Can I tell you what's equally probably disgusting?
Talking about
this. Think about it. Yes.
Talking about
blowing your nose in public and tissue.
That tissue is not providing a...
it's a real barrier. It's like a lambskin condom.
It's like microbial tissue.
But you know what's equally fucked up is grandpa going in his old bandana 48 times.
Yeah. That's a... Timmy, let's talk about this, Steve T.
No, I don't know.
The handkerchief is fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Unless you're like, you know... I forgot who wears t-shirts one time, throws them out. But like, unless you like throw your bandanas out one at a time and... Bring them down.
But even so, okay, like, I think what you're saying, Dave, is like, I blow into the thinnest piece of paper in the world with my nose, and then I look at it.
Man, like, I'll tell you, I pray.
Did I somehow avoid germs by doing that?
Yeah. No. I didn't know what's going to be like this.
Are you more interested in where this phobia came from? I want to know everything about Steve T, personally.
I mean, you're saying, is it a nose-picking specific phobia?
Yes.
Or is it a general germophobia?
You would, yes, that is my biggest question.
Right.
It's so specifically nose picking. What happened to him?
Yeah, what happened?
It sounds like a trigger word, like in your block, like it's when you name kids, you got to make sure none of them rhyme with fucking nose picker, you know?
Or a safe word.
So, in short, Steve, the answer is yes. People who are taught, who work in kitchens, to be clean.
I swear to God, if I saw somebody pick their nose, I was just like, what the fuck are you fucking doing? Are you out of your fucking mind? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this is like, I would say like this, my 33rd year of having a restaurant, working in my, I don't even think I use the word nose picking in the kitchen ever because I think
I've never seen it.
I think it is the unicorn of all, kind of atrocities that happen in the kitchen.
Like you see, in the kitchen, you can see some bad behavior, but literally never a nose picker.
Yeah, I think it crossed the line. It's literally right in your face.
Yeah.
It crossed the line.
I'm just trying to imagine what would happen in most of my friends' kitchens if somebody picked their nose.
No, they would be instantly probably fired.
I don't need to be fired, but I think that you're probably not going to get promoted.
Yeah. Yearly recap. Let's see. We had a great July.
But you could have stopped picking your nose.
And then the goldenrod fucking bloomed. This is too much.
I'm sorry, Kelly. I didn't know that this was going to be the question.
I love it.
You love it?
It's good, but I can't wait till number fucking two.
I also really want to pick my nose right now. I don't know if that came across
anyone.
Just
talking about it is making my nose feel like it needs to be picked.
Yes.
I'm feeling it too.
Mine feels nothing.
All right. Well, thank you for that email, Stephen. If you want to continue to ask us questions, please feel free. You can send those in at askdave@majordomomedia, or you can send them into the Discord channel, and you can sign up at majordomomedia.com. And if you're technically savvy enough, it's easy. If you're not, go ask your children to figure out how to sign up for Discord. We'll take a break.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing, keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
We are back with the real reason Chris Bianco and Kelly joined us today. Buy and sell. Buy and sell. It's been a while, and I think we definitely have to ask you if we can maybe change the name of this bit to For or Against.
Makes a lot of sense.
All right, so this is a refresher of the rules. This game is a debate show where four panelists will debate whether they should buy or sell a topic of the host's choosing. That's me. Each panelist has 20 seconds to make their case. At the end of each topic, points are assigned to the winner of a segment. The panelist with the most points at the end is the winner and will receive open floor for 30 seconds to talk about anything they want. Okay, so let's move on to the first topic. All right, our first topic or food item is buckwheat. All right, buckwheat, aka kasha, which isn't actually related to wheat, but is more of a flowering plant, is one of Whole Foods' food trend predictions for 2024. So buckwheat, buy or sell?
I'm going to start off. I personally will be buying it in my own portfolio, but for the public fund, I'm selling buckwheat all day. I just don't think the flavor is something that people actually enjoy. If they ever tasted soba noodles without any flavoring, they'd be like, what is that? I think that buckwheat is a very distinct flavor that is not really going to be enjoyed. It's also not easy to cook with. It is also a grain that needs to be processed almost immediately after it's been milled because it loses all of its sort of fragrance and beautifulness because it does not age well. It needs to be milled almost immediately and consumed and worked with. It doesn't have any gluten, so you need to add – it's not an easy thing to work with, and I think a blini is also – I mean, you're not eating a blini without caviar and stuff, right?
Sorry, 20 seconds are up.
Oh.
I'm getting cues. Is that what's happening?
I was gesticulating wildly.
I didn't know it was 20 seconds.
We're trying to keep it short, so otherwise we'll never get out of here.
I'm selling.
Okay. You're selling.
You're selling. Okay.
Because people are – basically because people are stupid.
All right, is it my turn now?
Yeah, you? Kelly, go for it.
Okay, I'm selling specifically because have you ever had a buckwheat pancake? They ruin pancakes. If there's buckwheat pancakes on the menu, I will not be ordering the pancake, and I'm always ordering the fucking pancake. That's all I have to say.
It's a very strong.
I love pancakes. I mean,
the brevity of it is almost like a haiku as well. I think that was awesome.
That was really beautiful. I love that Dave's sell reason was like, it's really delicious, but people will never get it. And Kelly's was like, it's disgusting. I'm selling it. I'm loving the different perspectives on the sell.
I would say it's 20 seconds starting right now, right? Let's see. I would say I too would sell. And it's kind of a contradiction, my reason. Because on one hand, buckwheat is one of the great names of all time. I mean, like if you're a baseball player or, you know, an actor in the you know, organic comedy. But I think that also just the name itself, like, it's gluten free, but it's called buckwheat. So you're losing half your audience is going there. I think it's lack of clarity, and it's also lack of versatility will be its downfall.
Senator, well done.
That was the most concise answer you've ever had.
That's amazing.
That was beautiful.
I know the time I had.
Chris.
Wow, you can do it.
I'm so proud of you.
I am not literally buying buckwheat myself for some of the aforementioned reasons. I don't know how to cook with buckwheat. I also find it ruins pancakes. But I'm going to buy on a short-term buy here buckwheat. I'm going to day trade buckwheat specifically because Whole Foods says it's going to be a trend, which means it's going to be everywhere in Whole Foods. And there's all these health claims about the heart healthiness of buckwheat. I think that people will buy it for a short amount of time, and therefore I am buying on buckwheat.
No, it's not going to be like all these white people putting turmeric on their face.
I think we're going to see a little buckwheat tea thing happen. I think we're going to see some buckwheat tea hit the internets.
That's buckwheat my tea, bro.
I think anything that says it's healthy, they will make it into a tea, and people will drink it for a short amount of time.
What you just said is going to create a whole Reddit subthread about how wrong you are.
That's fine. That's the point of the internet.
You know, can I just have a quick digression, host? You brought up something. What are the best? Do you follow baseball at all?
Yeah.
What are the greatest baseball names of all time?
Mookie.
Yeah, I was thinking Mookie's the best. Mookie Betts and then Mookie Wilson.
Yeah, those two best names.
And Mookie Blaylock, basketball, but I mean, still works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think buckwheat's a bad name?
It's not great.
It's not great. I think it's a decent name. I think it's not a baseball name.
Baseball has the coolest names when they're not just John and Joe, right?
The Negro League had the real cool name. Satchel. Like Satchel Paige. I mean, that's a fucking
Satchel
name,
is right? Fucking awesome. I want to name our son
Jackson,
Satchel.
You know? He was on the White Sox.
Okay, and he was not in the Negro League.
Exactly.
I guess I also agree that if buckwheat was called Satchel, it would be cooler.
I think sport. I mean,
Sandy Koufax, great name.
It's a great name.
Great name. Yeah.
There's some motherfucking
buckwheat pancake. One of my favorite players.
Willie Mays too is a good name, even though it's not that by itself. Mays.
Babe Ruth.
Willie
and Mays. It's an amazing name. That's a terrible candy bar. Great name.
Terrible candy bar. Hate the fucking Babe Ruth. Never liked the Yankees.
All right.
No, I like the
Yankees. Sorry, you know. Next.
All right. Don't you guys want to know who won?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
That's the only reason to do this.
Okay. So actually, I gave out 3 points this time. 2 to Kelly for coming in strong and making a great debut.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
And then
fuck you very loudly.
A point to Ying for employing the day trade maneuver and, you know, just saying this is just going to be a trend.
It kind of seems like a cop-out. Can we day trade?
Yeah, you can definitely day trade. You can do anything you want. It's buy or sell.
Okay.
All right. Next topic. Here we go.
GameStop over here. Jesus
Christ. I'm going to short the buckwheat market.
All right. Next up, we've got Spam. All right, menu research group Data Central calls it the chef's secret nostalgic ingredient, but Koreans have been calling it delicious for more than 50 years. Spam, buy or sell?
I think we're going to overextend the stock metaphor. For me, Spam is a mutual fund, and I think if it hasn't already by now skyrocketed or plummeted, it is just going to gently continue on its trajectory. I don't think anything spectacular is going to happen with Spam. I love Spam. I'm going to say it. I really like Spam. And I find that the lower sodium version is a totally passable product. So I like to play it safe. I'm going to buy Spam without high expectations of anything happening here. I don't think it's going to plummet.
My turn? This one, I would say... I would buy.
Dave is so excited to see what you say right now.
I would buy only because of, I think it's pretty much fucking hit its ceiling. You know, I think it's definitely like a 24-year-old freshman. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Basketball player, they probably are who they are. But I think that he'll play in the league a long time. And I think so will Spam.
Okay.
I mean, Hormel could send you a huge check to be like, hey, Chris Bianco, would you put it as a topping on your Rosa pizza?
I'm fucking listening, bro.
Because it'd be pretty good.
Mr. Really Hormel, good. I got kids, I got to get through.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah.
Chris up in that.
I'm just saying, Hormel, this is the reason why Spam is not on the up.
Hey, I got the internet. Yeah. They know how to find me.
I got the internet.
I am a Minnesota girl through and through. If you guys don't know, Austin, Minnesota, home to Spam, home to the Spam Museum.
Are you serious?
Whoa.
You guys, holy shit.
We're taking a field trip to the Spam Museum.
Oh, that's a trick. This got to be.
That is.
What are the fucking
I actually am here. I'm here on behalf of Big Spam. So I am buying. I'm buying. I'm always going to buy Spam. I don't personally like Spam, but I love Spam. Does that make any sense to you?
You love the idea of Spam.
Yeah, I love Spam. I will not be eating it, but I will be visiting the museum.
You just flat don't like it.
It's not my favorite texture in the world. I like a Spam musubi once in a while, but I'm buying it because it rocks.
Again, I love Spam. My kids like Spam. I think of all the flavors. The original is still the best. It needs to be salty, all of these things. For those that don't know, I don't think Korea is where it is today. There's no BTS, there's no Blackpink without Spam, folks, right? There just isn't. It literally saved Korea and a few other countries. It's beloved in Asia, Southeast Asia, and Hawaii, and not so much the rest of the world, not so much America. There are a lot of knockoffs. The reason why I'm selling it, and I just want to say it's my I love it, but I'm selling it because it's like Vegemite. You know, you either love it or you don't. And I think having a shelf-stable meat freaks the shit out of people in a world where you don't necessarily need to have shelf-stable meat. For that reason, I'm selling it unless Hormel. You also contact me.
I'll put that shit on anything. That's right. All right, you know.
All right, guys. So the winner for that round is Senator Bianco for taking a call in the middle of Buy or Sell and getting a deal with Spam on the spot.
Oh, come on.
But
we're
Dave,
taking it seriously.
But Dave, actually, you do get a point for bringing up all the cultures in which it was used.
Wait, he's actually getting a fucking point?
I'm giving it to you. But like, I'm giving it to Dave. I just wanted to give a shout out to Senator.
Wait, how many points do I get?
What is the actual
Dave
point?
Dave gets two and Bianco gets one just for the lows.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
I think the phone thing beside, I thought, like, it's a fucking 24-year-old freshman.
You're right.
That was a good analogy.
I still don't get the analogy.
We're good. He's like drafting Bo Nix.
Okay,
right.
I see.
Right?
Yeah, there you go.
Like 27 years old, okay. Rookie.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, one person on this panel is from Spam, but that's cool.
I mean, from the Spam Museum.
It's fine. You know, it's fine.
We'll just move on. All right, next topic. Shawarma. All right. Any meat on a spit, really. But this sounds like a rehash. But, like, apparently shawarma is on track to be trending in 2024, according to this white paper that I read. So, shawarma, buy or sell?
Shawarma.
Chris Bianco, you're up.
I start. Shawarma, I'm selling. Only because, I like it, but, I mean, look at the name burrito and it's shawarma. And I love, you didn't tell me the name. I think if you change the name, give me a good name for shawarma.
To Pastor?
Exactly. Pastor is going to fucking kill.
Pastor Taco?
Pastor will kill, but shawarma, instant shawarma is not going to, I don't think it's going to happen for it.
I'm selling. I am selling on shawarma. I love shawarma, but meat on a spit flying through the air where people might be picking their noses is just not marketable in 2024. It's kind of...
How about pastor?
I mean, that's the thing, too. I love this stuff. Don't get me wrong, but it's just meat out in the open. Sometimes it looks a little gray. I'm just going to say it's not great, and I'm not spending my money on it.
Hmm. I'm upset.
I will be buying all of your stock that you're selling. And if you want to unload it all, I'm buying it all. All day I'm buying it. I am long shawarma. It is actually one of the key investments in my entire portfolio. Mm. And the reason is whether people are picking their nose or not, the actual heat is like 500 degrees plus. So that's going to kill anything. The reason why I know it's going to work is I'm a believer that deliciousness will always win out. It is hard to beat the science that you're going to get constant Maillard reaction on every slice of meat that is on that shawarma spit. And that is why it's going to win. Besides all the multiple ways you can eat that meat, that crispy meat on every slice is one of the most ingenious inventions of all time. We've made a show about it. as the shawarma turns on Ugly Delicious Season 2, and I open a restaurant called Bong Bar, where we put Asian shit on the skewer. So I'm buying it, and I encourage you guys to sell.
I am also buying shawarma because I see it as a tech investment, like Dave is talking about. I see it less as, it's the NVIDIA of food preparations. I see it more as more than a graphics processor company. I see that the technology of the vertical spit can be applied to many things in the future. However, it has to be a long-term investment because I agree with the senator that shawarma will fall victim to this nation's well-established aversion to things from the Levant and Middle East and Arabic part of the world, which I disagree with strongly, but deliciousness will prevail. I agree.
So it actually sounds like Ying is selling too. So I'll buy all your shit.
I'm buying.
It sounds like you're a seller.
I heard sell.
Yeah, I did. Sounds like you're a seller.
Only because I need the cash right now.
But I like shawarma though. I do.
All right, that was a great round, Dave. You actually had it in hand until you got the actual name of the episode in season two of Ugly Delicious wrong. It's As the Meat Turns and not As the Shawarma Turns.
I paraphrased it, much like that Harvard dean.
Otherwise, that was a tough round to judge. I think Kelly and Bianco both get the win for that round. Okay, so let's see.
By the way, that's crazy. The Harvard president just copied shit left and right in her dissertation.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It happens, man.
That's why I didn't get a fucking Harvard. Bunch of fucking cheaters.
That's why. You had the choice, but you were like, no, I refuse to bring my talents to Harvard.
He's going to Hartford, Connecticut.
I feel bad. I feel bad about
you got there. You're like, wait, this isn't Harvard. This is Hartford.
I feel bad about shawarma right now. I'm gonna change my story, but about the name. But I feel bad. Like in case it's somebody's name, Mr. and Mrs. Shawarma out there. There's no disrespect to your name or whatever.
I think I'm just
saying.
Senator
but
Bianco.
A burrito is a fucking good name. Just saying, like a burrito.
By the way, I had burritos last night from Sonora Town.
Oh, and they were good as fuck, right?
Can I just say that's another reason why I think I got to stop eating things that I know are delicious? It completely destroyed me. Mm. They're so good.
The chivichanga for me. Oh, I would eat that every single day. Yeah.
This is good, man. It's good.
Man, it was so good.
Sonora Town's delicious.
And good name.
Very spicy.
Very spicy salsa. Mm-hmm.
Very spicy.
Yes, good shit.
But so good. It's so, so good. So anyway, shout out to Sonora Town. You ruined my day today. And I'm actually, it was so good, I'm contemplating how I never feel this way ever again. I ate too much. Anyway, what's next?
All right, we're going to take a quick break from food and get into sleep hygiene. All right, so sleep has been the trend for a couple of years now, looking at, you know, evaluating how you go about your sleep and making sure you get a good night's sleep. Is this going to continue? Buy or sell sleep hygiene in 2024?
What is an example of sleep hygiene?
Oh, I'll give you an example. Look at my ring. Aura ring.
Oh.
I am buying every single piece of stock possible on sleep hygiene. I love to sleep. I live to sleep. I will do anything to sleep. And this Aura ring, shout out to Aura ring. Aura ring, if you're listening, I love you.
That's a count of
oh my God, they're on the phone ring now. It's fucking crazy.
Sleeping is everything, and it's, yeah, everyone does it. Everyone needs to sleep better. I have nothing else to say on the topic.
Well, it's funny you should say about sleep hygiene, because I'm also wearing an Aura ring. But not only that, I legitimately bought into it because I invested in it. In Aura. And like many years ago, my friend became the CEO of Aura, like
that
10 years ago.
Genius.
And I wrote him a very small check that has done quite well.
Yeah.
I'm a long-term believer in sleep health and sleep hygiene. So I literally put my money where my mouth is here.
Just a quick
question.
That's
going to be hard to beat.
Does the ring, is it a monitor or does it somehow affect your sleep positively?
It's everything.
What is it?
It monitors. It monitors your heart rate variation, your temperature, how much you moved.
Okay. What you got?
Oh, you done?
I haven't said anything.
Oh, you're next.
We should get Aura to give us a discount code.
I am I'm buying on sleep hygiene as a
whoop dude.
As a CPAP patient, I have personally seen the benefits of proper sleep and not choking, not suffocating to death. I feel that there's a ceiling here. The rings look cool. I'll tell you guys, look cool with those rings. You look super cool with those rings.
Thank you.
Don't look super cool with the fucking CPAP machine. So, like, it's only going to really work. Like, only you can only bring out the CPAP.
Is that what it sounds like?
No, it doesn't sound like fucking Darth Vader. Like, I got it under control, but I do have to face away because I, even though I've been married for a long time and have very few secrets from my wife, I still don't like her to see me wearing this thing. It's so embarrassing. So there's a ceiling on it, but like the benefits of sleep hygiene.
I don't like the name sleep hygiene. What did you call it? Sleep something else. Sleep health?
Sleep health.
Whatever it is.
Sleep wellness.
Sleep wellness.
Sleep wellness.
Yeah. Well, night times.
Nighty nights.
Yeah.
I'm fucking buying the shit out of sleep anything. And I think it's funny because I really never thought too much about sleep. In its connectivity to everything else, you know, I thought it was like and many people in the hospitality business
don't sleep.
As you well know, it's you know, sleep is our arch enemy. You know, it's just always about staying awake and longer. And then one day you submit to it, and I think people are learning that how bad they need it. And then also, I would dub that into wellness in general. I think people are starting to give a fuck more about. They want to sleep well. It means you probably got to fucking know what time you stop eating. You got to know what you ate for, you know, you got to help it along. You know, brush your fucking teeth and put some clean PJs on. Get a good pillow, which is a whole other study. This is over 30 seconds. So I will give up my minutes for just the message of sleep.
Has anyone gotten those cold pads and hot pads for sleep?
No.
I think that's the next level shit.
Really? That sounds good. I just started fucking sleeping good. I mean, I don't want to get on, but I just been working on it lately. I got a thing right now.
It feels so different when you wake up.
Yeah, it's a weird. I mean, I'm gonna go off on it. Is everybody already? We're already done.
Yeah, go off.
You know, I will say this.
The floor is yours, Senator Baraka.
I know on the sleep thing, like no bullshit. It's like I forgot. I'm sure you can Google this shit, but how fucked up you are if you don't get enough sleep. Say you get 2 hours, like it's like. It's like drinking a fucking bottle of old granddad or something, you know, kind of thing. And for a lot of years, like with my asthma and stuff, that like it wasn't so much the snoring, but like not breathing so good at night, which like I got some new medicine right now I'm taking from asthma, you know, and it's helped me sleep. And I've been it's really look how chipper I am today, right, Cal? I mean, usually I'm a grumpy fuck.
But you might be chipper because of the Tucson tuxedo.
You know what? I will say I'm a big fan of denim. And
wait, undo the top button. It looked cool with it.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Woo!
Looking at you right now makes me want to smoke Marlboro Reds right now.
You know what? It wouldn't be the first time, Dave. It wouldn't be the first time. You know that. You know that.
Marlboro, another sponsor for you.
You know what?
asthmatic smoker.
Most things I do come with a... Most things I do come with a government warning anyway. Oh my god!
I don't smoke often, but when I do, I smoke the harshest cigarette possible. Away.
Can we get Lucky Strike? Yeah. That's what we need. Oh my god!
All right, you know what were we talking about? Oh, sleep.
Yes, sleep. And to sum that up, actually, we'll give that round to Senator Bianco, who actually provided some practical tips, including like wearing PJs and brushing your teeth every night. These are just basic ways to keep your sleep.
Do you sleep
check.
With PJs on?
I will say this. You know what I usually do? This one, you guys want to know my thing? I brush my teeth. That's just who I am. You know, okay. I like to brush my teeth. I like to, if I can, I like to take a fucking hot bath or shower before I go to bed. I don't want to bring the fucking day into my bed. You know what I'm saying? All the fucking people and fucking
okay,
shit.
Okay, but do you sleep with PJs on?
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get to
he
it.
He is being evasive.
After I'm
this.
Fucking out of the you know, the equipment, whether it be the bathtub or the shower,
mm-hmm.
Nice and dry. Give yourself a few minutes so you're not putting fucking, like, PJs or whatever, boxers on, like, a wet butt. You know, like that. We'll make sure you're dry 100%, right? And then I usually put some... Two big pajama bottoms, preferably flannel, worn the fuck, maybe with a rip on the bottom, with a soft white t-shirt, one size too big, and then you're ready for bed.
I'm cozy as hell right
so
now.
So that is your uniform.
That's my fucking uniform. It's I mean, Dave, you're fucking half asleep now. Me just telling you I got
no. I'm just trying to. We've done this pajama thing before because I still don't understand people that have to pack a pajama when they're on.
No, I don't need to pack a pajama. I don't.
That's
need
just
pack.
Strange to me. My wife is one of those strange people. You are not a pajama person. You're just a boxers, dude.
I'm a boxer too. I mean, boxer.
No, I've changed to like a looser flowing pantaloon.
Yeah, I don't need walking around like my dad. Rest his soul. He used to walk around the fucking house.
I slept in boxer briefs for years and years, and then I realized, like, why am I living? I would wake up every night with a wedgie and just be like, why am I doing this to myself? This is poor sleep hygiene.
Why did you have a wedgie?
You move around and it kind of rides up.
What is that CPAP machine doing to you?
See, sometimes a CPAP machine. Like, sometimes I'm like a baby they have to do an emergency C-section on because that fucking cord is, like, wrapped around my neck. They're just like, we got to get this thing out right now. His heart rate is dropping. Get this thing out. It's got a wedgie, and it's choking itself.
Hey, you know what, man? I heard those other things you need to put on your neck are pretty good, too. Like, they keep you.
What?
What?
There's, like, a fucking neck brace.
Oh, a neck pillow thing.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Oh.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, when you break your neck or, like, a halo?
Yeah,
or something?
It looks like. It was on Instagram, like, when you're scrolling through stuff and somebody pops in there. Then you gotta watch some other fucking stupid video for, like,
two minutes.
And
square,
then you give up.
I saw a square pillow on Instagram. What do you guys feel about the square pillow?
I'm against the square pillow.
He's selling square. Why?
Because.
Why do you hate it so
much? It's not a pillow.
Much?
It's not a.
But it's supposed to fit perfectly when you're sleeping because on
what?
Your side.
Because the shape of your neck and your shoulder. You saw the same
ads.
Shit.
Yeah.
But I think, it's a block. But I think we're fighting against things. Like, another pillowcase? Another fucking pillowcase I got to get now? Small one, medium, large, square. What's too much?
Can I add, because we have someone that understands the Kimmelverse, and I had this we talked about it a few months ago, of the Strike Force 5. The five late night hosts, John Oliver,
awesome.
Seth Meyers, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Stephen Colbert. Who wears pajamas and who does not wear pajamas? And the other option is naked. Do you think that any of them sleep naked? The five.
I'm thinking John Oliver sleeps naked.
Wow. I think he's a straight pajamas dude.
You think
like,
so? You
monogram
mean like
pajama
monogram?
British shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I feel about Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert absolutely has monogram pajamas.
Can you imagine Stephen Colbert just wearing t-shirts and boxers? No.
No.
I think Colbert unequivocally is pajamas, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Fallon's wearing boxers and a white t-shirt that's a bit too big, maybe like you.
But I would say this. I mean, I would.
You've seen Kimmel wake up in the morning.
Been in some camping trips, you know.
What's he rocking?
I don't want that's.
Is it private information?
Is it personal?
Fucking normal shit. I don't know, like a t-shirt.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Like a normal shit.
If you're camping,
right?
I don't anticipate anybody, but there's a specific person. I think that Stephen Colbert on a camping trip or like.
Yeah,
fishing with Kimmel is going to pack pajamas. That's how I just think Colbert is a pajama dude through and through.
But, you know, again, like, it might be, like, boxers and sweatpants because it's cold in the morning when you go get your fucking pancakes or whatever the fuck. I mean, it might be a layered
but
thing.
But Kimmel is, in my opinion, t-shirt boxer guy, too, right?
He's a
for sure.
Lunch pail guy, which we say lunch pail, you know?
Yeah, I think.
Fallon, t-shirt boxers guy?
Yeah.
Do you think, though, older Fallon gets, maybe he's becoming pajamas man? We could actually find this information.
That's a hard one.
Send a couple texts.
Who is the most likely of the Strike Force 5 to be a Kelly Meinhardt style?
Seth Meyers. Yeah.
You guys, I'm sticking with my guns. I'm saying
John
Oliver
might be a nude guy.
I think Seth Meyers sleeps naked because it's his only act of rebellion.
You know, the Brits can surprise you.
Think he wears footy pajamas with a little flap of the butt?
He could be more Austin Powers than.
Back to British desserts, like you're gonna get drunk. I don't know what his drinking habits are. I imagine he
something
has
boozy,
fun.
Boozy.
He strips naked, goes to bed.
I don't know. I just.
I don't want to think about.
I don't want to think about it. Him being naked.
Yeah.
I think he wears some cool British thing we haven't even heard of, like a tuppence suit.
Anyway,
cool.
I think we killed sleeping naked pajamas to death.
Yeah.
Thank you, Yuno.
Okay, thanks.
Next, espresso martinis, buy or sell. It's been the drink for the past couple years now. Has it finally peaked? Can we sell on liquid cocaine?
What is in espresso martinis other than espresso?
Espresso, vodka.
It's vodka.
And
coffee
then,
liqueur.
Yeah. Like, why do you have such a pained face about this?
Is there actually espresso in an espresso martini?
Yeah.
Is that true?
The first time I ever had one was with Fergus Henderson, late night London, at one of those clubs where you can continue to drink. And the only reason to drink an espresso martini is so you can drink other alcohol. Hmm. I think it's great. I think it's delicious. It's really sweet. I was offered one this weekend, and I chose not to do it because there's something about the look of it to me.
It's like poo-poo water.
Yeah, but I don't want – I've not. It's taken me 46 years to now just come to terms to drink a martini and a martini glass. Nah, I don't give a fuck. But I just think that drinking an espresso martini for me, I just can't get there yet, right, visually for myself. And also, I just – I don't know. I don't want to – oftentimes, I just want to go to bed now. So I'm selling espresso martini.
That is a thing, though. I feel were you offered it toward the end of the? It's like toward the end of the night.
You know what I had? I had another bone dry gin martini.
What kind of party was this, Dave?
But I think that
you were there. We were at the same party.
Right. I forgot.
This is the thing that's that I've not understood. Is I think that the espresso martini has been coming into play as like a. It's at the end of dinner, the end of round one, and I'm gearing up for round two, so I have to have an espresso martini at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night so I can keep going. I'm buying the espresso martini as a happy hour. It's 5 o'clock. I gotta get this show on the road drink. So I think that is an unexplored territory for the espresso martini, is as a pre-drinking drink and then a pick-me-up later. So more espresso martini buying.
I would say this again, like many of my statements tonight, probably hard to understand. But
remember, this is not Fox News.
midnight. What the fuck? Kelly, man, explain me. Explain me. Yeah. No, I would say I want to start now, my 30 seconds. I would say I am selling as quick as I can, only because, ironically, I think coffee, even though nothing else can fucking have a lower ceiling, you think, what else can coffee do for us? But I think better single origin, like better espresso, going to Italy and like studying the simplest espresso and just wanting that again, I think it's going to come back again. The simple espresso will come back. I think the martini will slowly rise because you want that clear, cold, frosty, that. But the murkiness of the doo-doo water, it's kind of interesting. It's like a puddle, like. Jumping in at once is kind of interesting, and then you're in it. You just gotta get beautiful. The fuck out.
That's beautiful. I want to ask a sub question to everybody here about an espresso martini, starting with you, Kelly. If you're meeting someone for the first time, group of friends, whatever, and you're getting drinks and cocktails, first time, first meeting, and it's like, say, 7 o'clock, and the first drink they order in front of you is an espresso martini, are you judging them?
Wow, that's a good question.
You guys, this leads into my answer, though, I would say. I'm not just... okay. I am buying a majority stake in espresso martini with the idea that it's getting a full rebrand because of this exact question. It's a basic drink. All like the basic girlies love an espresso martini, but it is so functional. For somebody going back to sleep hygiene who is always tired, I'm going to get an espresso martini the first drink I get. But I don't like the judgment that comes along with it. I'm also the type of person who will buy, like, I will get a water and a Coca-Cola and a coffee and an alcoholic beverage because I want the array. But combine two of those together, it's genius. It is crack without the crack.
I'm judging that person, but in a positive light. I'm seeing this person being like, this person is unafraid to order an insane thing. Right off the bat, we've never met. This person sleeps in the nude. They are free as a bird. And they're saying to me, they're indicating to me by basically cracking open a Four Loko to have their first drink of the night. They're basically saying, we are going to get after it. Let's go.
Yes.
And so I'm like, let's go. So I'm judging positively this person.
I think that people underestimate how much you're judged when ordering food. We've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
The Hefeweizen principle, we should always talk about. But I think, again, another principle within the Hefeweizen principle is the moment when you're meeting someone for the first time and you're judging that person on what they drink, whether it's a bottle of wine, what kind of wine are they drinking, what kind of cocktail are they drinking. And I have only seen it once in my life where an individual orders a cocktail, first time I meet them, and they order an espresso martini. It's like 5:30. And I said to myself, fuck this person.
Why? Whoa. I think it's such a bold move.
No, I just disliked it intensely because it's like, why? First of all, why? There's no reason other than it's sweet. And I started breaking down. Maybe this person only likes it because it's sweet. Right?
Maybe
it's,
they wanted to give you their full attention and they weren't.
They
went
two espresso martinis.
See, I love this part.
This is
see,
but
maybe like Dave might have felt, because I'm trying to understand Dave right now. Maybe he felt like this person might be trying to self, like, anesthetize themselves from Dave's experience with them. Would that be like, Dave, like, why are you numbing yourself out?
No, I mean, I would much rather them order a Shirley Temple, you know, or like alcoholic beverage in that regard. I just, to me, it's such a trying to be more alpha than alpha that you don't give a fuck. You know, that you're so above the everybody else that I can do whatever you want type of thing. That's how I characterized it.
You think there's no humility in the espresso martini order?
Zero. I was like, whoa, dude. Fucking super bold move.
I think it's always, I mean, like.
Well, everyone's drinking champagne and this motherfucker drinks.
Just have what you're having. Okay, well, that's different. Just have what you're having. And then, you know what? No one's looking. When they've dispersed in the room, you can sneak up and nobody's looking and knock back a fucking, you know, espresso martini just to get through wherever you get it. But yeah, just have what they're having. Maybe just a fucking. I don't know. I never thought about this, man. I feel. All
right. I mean, I think Kelly won that, right?
I think Kelly won that pretty handedly. Yeah.
You guys are all wrong. Kelly. I'm just going to say it.
I'm with you on the thing.
He's mine.
Dave, you are dead wrong.
That's okay.
Wow. Okay. This one is actually scamorza. Scamorza cheese. So they're saying that it goes from mozzarella to burrata to scamorza in the future. So buy or sell on scamorza cheese.
And what's the technical definition and use of a sentence of scamorza cheese, please?
Scamorza cheese is a stretched curd cow's milk cheese. It's just, you know,
it's a smoked mozzarella. Yeah. I was just seeing if he actually
is it smoked mozzarella? Because there's
he doesn't know what it is. So it's a smoked mozzarella, and it's usually shaped in like a vase type of thing.
Well, because there's a smoked version and an unsmoked version. So,
but usually it's a smoked.
Yeah, usually it's smoked. Yeah, I mean, you
know,
like,
but what does this guy know about
scamorza? But you go ahead, Dave.
I'm just questioning our host.
Well, I'm going?
No, I think that you are the skamoza. If anyone here is
a skamoza I would say this. Kind of like shawarma, skamoza is not the greatest name. It's a little bit like, you know, I mean, just like it's you know, it's not as catchy. It's like burrata is pretty, you know, a sexy name or whatever. But skamoza, I think, is, and I think most.
Burrito, burrata. You just love that specific.
Yeah, I think so. It's just the cadence of it all. And I think also, you know, there are different styles like cacciocavallo, burrata. I mean the scamorza. But if it's smoked, if it's like, you only want so much smoked anything. I think you know, smoked things are a good idea, and they got to be really balanced. So I think it has a ceiling. I'm not buying on that. It's, you know, because I think it's a different expectation, especially if it's an age more than you did. There's a lot of variables there. Too many variables. Too many notes.
I'm not going to front here or pretend that I'm not ignorant. I had no idea what scamorza was until this very moment. So I'm going to buy it because I'm looking at a picture of it, and it does look like an adorable little fertility statue. It looks like the Venus of Willendorf. It's a cute little
it's cheese great. Ball. I mean, it's
very
awesome.
Adorable. It's very rotund. Looks like a little fat snowman. So I'm buying on scamorza because of its cuteness.
Off of that, I am absolutely selling, because that same picture I just looked at, it looks like a nutsack. And no one's going to go to Whole Foods and pick
it
up.
It looks like the Venus of Willendorf. It looks like an adorable little fertility statue.
Not this. Okay. I'm selling. Just aesthetic-wise, I'm not going to put that on a cheese board. I know you cut it up, but still, no. Absolutely not.
I'm going to have to agree with Kelly here. I'm selling scamorza, whether it's smoked or unsmoked, for this simple reason. It's too hard of a cheese to slice. It's really dense. It ruins a fucking knife. And more importantly, if you are successful at slicing it, it's not a good eating cheese.
It's not a good eating cheese.
You have to cook it. And I want to eat cheese that are good, uncooked and cooked.
This is Comte's here. Comte is a fucking
perfect
example. Bag of Comte.
Right? And it's probably, honestly, I'd put it out as probably one of the worst non-cooked eating cheese around. That's why.
Plus, it's rolling when you try to slice it.
It's not good. It'll fuck up any knife that you try to cut through.
And then you won't think you'll be able to talk about your experience with it because you feel stupid. Because you heard it was the hottest cheese of the year.
People may not realize that I know my scamorza.
Is there somebody who says this is going to be a big cheese?
Yeah, this was also in that same report, the white paper that talked about like future
flavorsanalysis.org or whatever.
Yeah. Data Central.
I don't know.
ChatGPT clearly is not right all the time. All right, next.
All right, let's do it. The last one, the last topic is actually just pop culture. Tesla's Cybertruck. Are you buying or selling?
I'll go first. I can't wait for somebody that I know to buy one so I can make fun of them all the time. That's my entire answer.
I am absolutely selling because I have you guys seen those videos of like the field of vision in that car? That car is asking for you to commit vehicular manslaughter. You can't see a thing in that car. So I'm selling because I value the lives of other drivers around me.
I got to be honest. I missed the question.
We're still talking about scamorza.
Are you pro or against? For or against the Tesla Cybertruck?
I'm so far against the Cybertruck. I just think if you, again, just call it a cyber vehicle, I think a truck, you're already up against classics. It talks, you know, trucks are nostalgic. They're, you know, golden retrievers and full of fruit baskets and, you know, off-roaders. And that's just I don't know. All the Teslas going, but they guess 230,000 got recalled or something lately.
I think I should actually be technically pro Cybertruck because of this no sugar diet and all the sleep hygiene.
So
I'm changing it.
It just fits in with your
I'm pro Cybertruck.
Your whole persona.
Because that's a perfect Venn diagram.
I'm selling the Cybertruck because I still think it might be a prank. And I refuse. I think that it's a prank that everybody's pulling. And if I buy into it and I say like that, like the, if I say I want that thing, people will be like, ha ha, it was a joke, you idiot. It's not a real truck. So I'm pretty sure this is a prank and I'm not buying it.
You know what are two cars that I really want to get? Ford F-150 Lightning.
Cool.
Toyota Tacoma. You had a Toyota.
I just got a new Tacoma. I got an old Tacoma. It's the last year of the 4Runner. So I got it because it's the last V6 and it's a fucking dinosaur. I mean, that's the thing about the truck. It's like you want different things. Like you know, it's not great. It's not great, but it's so not great that it's fucking great.
I was a little bit shocked to know and learn that Chris Bianco is not a made in America man for cars and automobiles, but made in Japan man.
I am. I will say this. Yes, but I also have my 65 El Camino that's, you know,
true.
Made built here in California, but 1965.
Little known fact for those that are Chris Bianco trivia buffs, his favorite movie of all time is the 1980s classic, Gung Ho.
I did not. I'm fucking in love.
Hasn't this guy suffered enough today? Hasn't his reputation suffered enough today?
I'm telling you, man.
Hasn't the stock in Bianco DiNapoli plummeted enough for you?
The editing rate is the Emmy worthy Emmy. Daytime.
Hasn't this guy been through enough today without your
and the
boards?
Award for daytime editing goes to. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean any of it. I only meant the good things.
All right.
Love you, Kim.
All right. So that was the final topic. So final score.
Who won that?
We're giving it to Kelly for bringing up the field of vision. That was a very salient point.
Damn it. I should have bet money that she was going to win.
Kelly, you have the floor for 30 seconds to talk about anything you want. Congratulations. Take it away.
Oh, God. Well, it is the holiday season. So I would like to take this time to promote my favorite movie of all time, not Gung Ho like Chris Bianco. My favorite movie is The Santa Claus 2. And I implore every single person listening to this podcast to sit down and watch The Santa Claus 2.
With Tim Allen?
With Tim Allen.
Was that when he has a mind to Mrs. Claus?
Yes. Okay. You know. You know what's up.
I know what's up.
This movie, I've seen it probably over 60 times. I wish that was an exaggeration. I own about 3 DVD copies of this movie. I single-handedly credit my bisexuality to this movie. I grew up, just wait, it'll come around.
You were like Tim Allen and Mrs. Claus, equally attractive. Get the fuck out of here.
I grew up, I swear to God, I thought I was in love with Tim Allen. I was like, this man, Tim Allen, when he kisses Mrs. Claus, I was like, I am feeling things I've never felt before. It turns out I was just in love with Mrs. Claus, Elizabeth Mitchell, known for her Lost fame. Besides that, it is the best movie ever made.
I never saw it.
There's family drama. There's love.
Planned out at my house already.
There's the tooth fairy in real life. You guys, you have to watch it.
I love it. Dude, Elizabeth Mitchell is fucking hot.
She's
super hot.
Holy cow.
Yeah, super hot.
She was Juliet in Lost. She is like my first love.
She's unbelievable. And Fat Santa landed her.
Yes.
I believe in Santa Claus too.
Dude, Mrs. Claus.
You guys got to watch it.
Dave, maybe we can get her on the show.
I love that. You know what?
I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
Listen.
I might be picking my nose. All right.
Amazing.
Thank you for that. I've never even seen Santa Claus 1.
I haven't either.
Is Elizabeth Mitchell in Santa Claus 1?
Don't watch Santa Claus 1.
Because I definitely don't want to watch it.
The ex-wife character in Santa Claus 1 is no Elizabeth Mitchell.
Oh, man.
No. She's hot in her own right.
Yeah, but she's no Elizabeth Mitchell.
Yeah.
That's one of the best answers we've ever had on the DC show.
Incredible.
Elizabeth Mitchell. I didn't even know who she was. I do now. Well, that does it for our last episode of the year. That was a doozy. Thank you to our guests, Kelly, Chris Bianco, Chris Ying. The Dave Chang Show wants to wish everyone a safe New Year's and a happy New Year. We'll see you all in 2024. Give us 5 stars. Thank you all.